I didn't want to go in this direction, and the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me go any other way. So you guys get to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. Well, I got to deal with it. So I can't come up here and give you something that I didn't get. So I'm kind of bound. My hands are bound. I must say, and you know that the farther you go on with God, the more you know, you just have to do it. It's no longer a choice. I think that's why Paul said he was a prisoner. It was his choice, but he came to the point where he had to do it that way. He had to do what God told him. He was a prisoner to it. He couldn't go any other way. When you go far up enough with the Spirit of God, you'll know there is no other way. That's what the disciples said to Jesus, didn't they? They stood there and they looked at him. He said, well, you guys going too? You're not going to eat my flesh, drink my blood? Well, you guys can go away. We don't know where else to go, is what they said. At that point, they've bound themselves to him. There was no other way to go. The Lord told me to ratchet it up a notch. What? Another notch? What if you're making something tighter? Well, what do you do if you got something and you're tightening it up? You're pulling a car or something and it's got one of those cranks, and every time you crank it just a little bit, what's it do? It goes click, click, click. Well, one more click. What are you doing? You're tightening it up a little bit. We're going to tighten this up. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord wants to do some stuff in the earth, and he's looking for a tight bunch of people. A tight bunch of people? Yeah. Tight, man. That could be the new catchphrase. How you doing? Tight. What are you tight to? I'm so wrapped up in the things of God, I don't have any wiggle room anymore. God says go, you go. God says jump, you jump. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if I want to. Yes, you do want to be like that. That's the way you want to be. Right square smack center of God's will for you. And that means you're walking on a tight rope. And so when you're going to walk on a tighter tightness with the Spirit of God, what's he going to do to you? He's going to tighten that rope up. What do you do when you're walking dogs? And they're out in front of you and they're all over the place on one of those little flexi leads. You ever see those things? It's so the dog can run all over the place and sniff anybody and do anything he wants, and we can pretend like we're walking together. And you come up to somebody who doesn't want to be sniffed by your dog, but they've got one of those little thingies on there, don't they? It grabs the rope on the inside. It's a mechanism, and then you pull them back in. Or if you see trouble coming down the road, you pull the dog in very tightly, and they're right next to you. Well, where do you want to be with God if trouble's coming down the road? And how are we going to know unless he reveals it to us? You want to be right next to him. Why? Because he's bigger than any problem. Is there a benefit of walking tight next to God? Oh, yeah. Then his goodness just rubs all over on you. You start to smell like him. And that's good for some of us. Yes, brother, I know what you mean. You should walk tighter. Jesus is Lord, authority. We're talking about the authority of the believer. And believe me, I've been wrestling with this. I'm trying to submit myself to the things. And we've been down this road, and we're just going to get a little tighter. Everybody say, tighter. Tighter. Brother, I don't like this message. Well, we're going to get tighter. What do you think it is when you're on the leash? Who's the one in authority? Well, this leash was just so loose before. I could run anywhere I wanted to. Now I just have to stand next to this guy. He won't let me sniff anything. I can't pee on anything. No, I got to walk right next to him. Some dogs, I remember these dogs. I'm on the dog trail this morning. I remember these dogs. We were living down in Washington, D.C. Well, we'd go to the parks and we'd sit in these big, beautiful garden places. And this man came along with two really, really well-trained golden retrievers. Beautiful dogs. And they weren't on a leash. This is the city, mind you. The capital. Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States. We were there, right on the Capitol lawn. I mean, they don't let you do anything on the Capitol lawn. Even the squirrels have to have badges on them. They can't get in. But here are these dogs. They're running around. And this guy just whistled something like that, or I don't know what it was. Obviously, I can't remember that. But they just immediately, both of them, one on the right, one on the left, came right to him and stood there. He started walking. He went up to the road. Car's going. Just sat there, waited. As soon as he took a step, they took a step. As soon as he took another step, no leash. They didn't need a leash. Why didn't they need a leash? They're disciplined. They've been trained. They know. Flexi lead, schmexi lead. You don't need one of those. They knew when to sniff. They knew when to sit. They knew when to cross the road. Brother, what are you saying? Supposed to be like a well-trained dog? Well, yeah, I guess so. Hallelujah. But you understand my point. So what we're going to do is tighten up the leash here. And I believe eventually you won't need one. Listen, you want to be the one that God can just whisper to. Hey, go over there. Hey, do this. Hey, give that guy $1,000. Hey, go pay her rent. Hey. Right? That's what you want to be. You want the flexi lead so you can feel like you're free and you're not under bondage until trouble comes along? You know, it's up to you. What do you want? And then God just got to yank you back in. You feel like you're in bondage now. God's yanking me back in, and now I can't do anything I want to, and I used to do everything I wanted to. No, you just learn the master. Now, we could liken you unto sheep. We know the voice of the master. We know when he's saying stuff to us. So let's just tighten this up a notch. Hallelujah. You guys ready? Luke 7, verse 1. Glory be to God. When you're there, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your precious blood of Jesus that has been shed for all of us. I speak the blood on this word. I speak the blood on our eyes and on our spirits and on our ears, that we may hear what you are saying to this church in particular and to the churches in general. I ask that you allow us to hear. Open our ears and our eyes that we may see and hear and know what you are saying to us individually as people and what we should be doing and how we should live in this earth today. I ask for a release of the anointing, and I ask for a release from bondages from people, that we may walk in your glory tightly with you in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Amen. Luke 7, verse 1, and now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. And then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 8, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, to my servant, do this, and he does it. Why do the servants do what this man tells them to do? Well, it's because the servants are set under him. Yeah. But what's over this man? We've been down this road a little bit. But this man, this is what he said. He said, I am a man set under authority. This is where the key is. He recognized that Jesus was a man under some type of authority. And if you'll just speak the word only, my servant will be healed. So where's the emphasis in this verse of scripture? And I really got to get you beyond this today. Beyond it? Yes, I got to get you to understand this. The reason that Jesus had the ability to speak a word and have the man healed was because he was sitting with authority over him. Now, did Jesus get his authority over sickness and disease just by himself? No, he never cured anyone until the Holy Ghost came on him. So what authority was he doing it in? We have other scriptures that say this. He did it by the finger of God, by the Holy Ghost. Where did he get his authority? The Holy Ghost. You guys ready for this? For I am also. Do you see the word also? Everybody say also. For I also am a man set under authority. You think this guy just was on flexi lead? This centurion? He could go anywhere he wanted to, do anything he wanted to, and his servants would just obey him. Do you think they would? At some point, those servants are going to go, I'm not going to obey you. If you're going to go over here, you're out from under the authority now. Think about an officer, a police officer, a rogue cop. All right? It's all well and good when he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. You're driving on the road 90 miles an hour, shame on you. What's he do? He pulls you over, writes you out a nice little ticket. Says, stop driving so fast. What if you're out on the beach and you're just hanging out eating a sandwich and he comes up and says, hey, there's a law that says no eating sandwiches, especially the kind I like, in front of me. Bring it over. Fork it over. You're like, wait. But the point is, when they're outside of the authority that they're set under, their authority doesn't mean anything. Do you see that? He can't just go taking people's sandwiches. I made up my own law. Maybe in the Wild West they did that. Is this making sense? People are looking at me like, where are you going, brother? That's where I'm going. If you're not set under authority, your authority doesn't mean anything. And if you are set under authority, you can do everything that the law tells you, right? What if that man does his job well? The police officer does his job well. He pulls over, you know, all the people that are speeding. He does everything he's supposed to do. What's eventually going to happen to that man? He's going to be promoted. He will be promoted, and pretty soon he'll be the chief of police. Hallelujah. Some of you getting this. Some of you are like, what are you talking about, man? I just want a burrito. I really like the part where you're talking about the sandwich. You have my attention there. For I also am a man set. So do you think, if he's using these words, did this man recognize that Jesus was a man set under authority? I submit to you, yes, he recognized that. He said, hey, I'm also a man set under authority. Why would he just begin the sentence that way? Because that's the main thing on his mind. And I think when we talk about the authority of the believer, and I've gone down this road and probably will. In fact, I wanted to today. Just talk about how you are set in Christ far over and above all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, every name that is named. They're all subject to you in Jesus' name. Yes, amen. And I could preach on that and preach on that and preach on that. But the problem with the church is they're not set under the authority that gives them the power to do that. Was Jesus a child of God before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost? He was. Why didn't he do the works until the Holy Ghost came on him? He had not submitted and set under that authority that gave him the power to do these things, and that's what you want. I also am a man set under authority, having soldiers under me. What is the first thing that this man talked about? Yes, soldiers were under him. But would soldiers be under him if he wasn't set in a place under authority? No, they wouldn't be under him. What authority did this man have? Actually, if the general or whoever it is over a centurion, I don't know this, but whoever was over the centurion, what if he gave him a directive? I want you to go and clean out Jerusalem. Now, this man's authority had just increased to the point of where he could go in and take over a city. Why? Because of him? No, because the directive and the authority that was over him, that he set under. Does this make sense? It's a huge deal. And it depends on where you're submitted and what you're under as to the amount of power that you can have. And as far as you can go, and we'll get into this. Hang on. How many of you want to go really far? I do. Really, I do. Go with me to Luke 9:1. You start talking about authority and submission. Why isn't everybody dancing in the aisles? They should be dancing. All you do is mention the word submission and authority. And they just break out in cheers. Yay! But is it necessary? How tight do you want to walk with the Holy Ghost? Me and the Holy Ghost, we're tight, man. Tight. This is what I have to do. This is what you have to do. If we're going to do this, obviously, who are we submitting to? Now, people get nervous about that. Submission. Especially women with their husbands. Submit. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but it's submit yourself. It's always submit yourself. Submit yourself. And why are you doing it? You're submitting yourself so that you can have the benefit that comes through the submission, so that you can have the authority that goes along with that. Let's say I'm the president of the United States of America. And I think you're a fine woman. She qualities in you. And I want you to come on my team. And I say, this is the direction we're going in. This is what we're going to do. You can make up your mind to submit yourself to me, the president. And then guess what? You start speaking for the president. I work for the president. Pretty soon, your authority just increased to the point of the president's authority. Do you understand? Jesus is Lord. So it's with a wife submitting to her husband that's in the Lord, obviously. She's submitting to him so that she can have the benefit that God put on that structure of the family. And then it works better, and then God's in it. Is there authority and structure in the body of Christ? Yes. Does that mean your husband always knows more than you? Probably not. And we'll admit it 99% of the time. But you're still the one in authority. Right? You're still the one that's responsible. Hallelujah. Brother, I just don't think this tape series is going to be a big seller. This one, submitting to the authority that God has established, is the one that will take you so far. It's huge. And people are like, that means I can't do what I want. Where's my flexi lead? Bring it back. In fact, I'm looking for a bigger flexi lead. They got to make one that has like 100 feet. I can go out. Or the old days when there was no leash law. You didn't like somebody out on your lawn, you let the dog out after them. Chase them off the lawn, down the street. Where was I? Luke 9, verse 1. And then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, look what. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. So, these are the powerful, mighty disciples. Obviously, Jesus recognized the great inherent qualities in these men. And they just attached themselves to him somehow magically. No, he specifically called them. Who gave them the authority and the power to cast out devils and heal diseases? Jesus did. He called them. He gave them the power. So what authority and power were they now out doing this under? Jesus is. And in fact, they came back. Flip over there quickly. 10:17. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Same word, subject here. It's to me, it's like they're surprised. Doesn't that sound like it to me? Even the devils, they're subject to us in your name, in his name. What if they tried to do it in their own name? What if they stepped out of their own authority? What if they tried to do anything out of their own authority? Well, I know Jesus told us not to bring money, not to bring an extra pair of clothes, and not to do all this, but we want to do anyway. Because I'm going right by the Walmart, and on the way I can pick up my, you know, prescription. How tight of a rope were these guys? Do you see how tight the rope was? We could read a little bit before that. He said, don't take any extra money. Don't take any extra clothes. Don't take any food. Some of these guys must have been, oh, food? What? Right? He stripped them, basically, of all the things they could rely on, and he sent them out in his name, in his authority, to do his work. And he provided for them. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Who did he say gave him power? Behold, I give unto you power. What did he just say before this? I beheld Satan fall. If you can grab onto this, you get something. Jesus was giving them a revelation of where he was, what his authority was. I beheld it. I saw it. He had a revelation of Satan falling, him beholding it. Why was Jesus able to cast out demons? Why was he able to heal the sick? Because he had a revelation of where the devil was and where he was. He was seated in authority, remember. The centurion recognized it. Hang on. You guys believing with me this morning? Yes. Believe God. If we can get this, we will have something. I'm telling you, if you can get this, you'll have something. Jesus had a revelation of his authority, where the devil was. He had this revelation. And he said, behold, I give you power over this. When they're submitted to him and his revelation that he received, he was transmitting it to them. Now they could go out and function in the same authority, the same revelation. Does that make sense? When they were submitted to him in his name. This gets huge, people. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus transferred this authority, this revelation, and the authority of that revelation to them, and they walked in it. Did they get the revelation themselves? Were they the one that spent the 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain praying? Which is where I personally believe, and you can argue this, whatever. At some point, he had this revelation. Right? He had this revelation, and then he transmitted it to them. And so in the name came the revelation. In the ministry of Jesus, they walked under the authority that Jesus walked in. This is going to get through to you. I'm believing God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here's Jesus, raised from the dead. Did he appear to everybody?
All over the world, everybody. The nations beheld him and wept.
At some point they will, but right here they didn't. The ones he really appeared to were the apostles, and there were many other disciples there before when he went up. But what did he do? Once again, look what he's saying here. All power has been given unto me. Remember, before he said, I beheld Satan fall. Now you're going to go and have power over the enemy. He said, now I have not on. He's walking in the revelation of him being raised from the dead. It's a reality. He was raised from the dead above all principalities and powers. And he says, go you, therefore, and teach all nations. What just happened here? He transmitted his authority by telling them to go and do something. He made them teachers right there. What did he tell them to teach? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So they're just going to teach what they want? Teach people how to make boat knots? They're just going to teach people? No. He told them, he commissioned them with authority. Are you following me here? He commissioned them. When Jesus called them, he called them, gave him his name, and commissioned them to go and teach the things that he gave them, the things that he commanded them. Do you think that gives somebody authority? To do what? Now, let me ask you a question. You think Kenneth Hagin, I know sometimes you don't want to bring out names, but I will. Kenneth Hagin, one of the guys I was brought up under, was he commissioned to teach people faith? If you look at the people that were underneath him, why did they have so much faith? Because they got this revelation all themselves? Or did this man get a commission from Jesus to teach something? And all of a sudden, you look at all the people around him, all of a sudden, all these faith ministers come out, and they're all preaching faith. And they all seem to have the same sort of something about them. Why is that? Because they're under that authority. Was it their authority? Did they get it? No, Jesus gave it to that man, and then they walked up under it, and it went as far as that authority went. It goes right back to Jesus. But they submitted themselves. This goes all through various realms and things that Jesus commissions people to do and teach. They bring a message. When you submit yourself to it, you take on that authority and that anointing. Woo! Glory be to God forever. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Is that a big deal? Here's your Lord. Is it a big deal?
Yes.
No, brother, I just don't see the importance of it. Could we talk about those sandwiches again? Is it a big deal? Your Lord has all authority and power in heaven and in earth. Is that a big deal? I think so. So what that limits you, doesn't it? It limits you to us how far you can go in the structure of the kingdom of God. Are you kidding me? There is no limit. You ever heard me say that before? There's no limit, but guess what you have to do? You have to walk tight, man. You got to walk tight with the master. And the more faithful you are and the tighter you walk, the more he'll just let you do. Doesn't he say that? If my words abide in you and you abide in me, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. How is that? That's walking tight. Ask what he wills. Ask what you will, but he's got to have his word in you. This is all over the scriptures, people. But we have just a loose and free-floating church with seeker-friendly and we got all these, you know. Everybody's just doing what, living like the world and expecting to have the Lord say, well done, good and faithful. Should be your middle name, good and faithful. Now, you know, what's amazing to me is Christians think that all they got to do is give their heart to the Lord. Yes, amen. Live their life any way they want to. Anyway, then they die. Right? And they're going to get to heaven and the Lord's just going to say, well done, good and faithful. So there's got to be some good and faithfulness that goes along with receiving this reward. Is this true? The tighter you walk on it, that's probably what those two dogs' names were. Good and faithful. Come here, good. Come here, faithful. Wham, right there. You can walk anywhere. You walk down the mall. How good do you want to be? You want to be good? You want to be tight? You want to be faithful? This is... Why doesn't this message go over so big, brother? Because it's work. But your increase in authority will go along with it. I used to study politics, and you'd see the people that rose up were the ones who could toe the line with the person they were serving. You know, we're called servants. That's what we are. And I'm the chief one, by the way. I'm not Mr. Hoodoo Big Shot. I get, you know, I'll show you this. I hope to get there. My goodness, I better hurry up. But that's how you're good and faithful. You're good and faithful what?
Domineering one. Yes, submit. Everybody, submit.
No. It's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You guys are getting this. Go therefore. Therefore. Therefore what? Because all power has been given unto your master. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. You're teaching them what he's taught you. There's the transmission of this authority. It came directly from Jesus. Do you see that? All right. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says he set some in the church. He set some in the church. Who did? Just the same way that he picked the 12 disciples and he sent them out. He set them where? Under his authority. Then he set some in the church. First apostles, second prophets. Right? He set them. Where? Under his authority. We know that Jesus is over all the authority, right? We just read that. He's been given authority over all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So who gave these? When he was raised from the dead, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts to men. Do you think he gave them any authority when he gave them? That would just be miserable. Send somebody and don't give them any authority. Be like sending a police officer out. Don't give him any gun. Don't give him any ability to do anything. Is anybody going to listen to him at that point? Be like, no way, buddy. Red light, schmed light. I got a place to be. But you know, you're thinking about going through that red light because it's just yellow and you might be able to make it. And you look around and you're like, I don't see anybody with a badge. I think I can make it. But if he was sitting there with the badge, what would you do? Well, I better stop because he's going to make me a lot later than if I just. Yeah, yes, now you guys are smiling. You know. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, he gave them authority, he gave them power, he gave them ability to do these things so you could be perfected. Anybody want to be perfected? Do you think it makes sense then to submit to the authorities that God set? What if I don't like that man? What if I don't like what he's saying? Especially this morning. And this is where it comes down to this, okay? It really comes down to this. You need to know. I'm not the director of you. And for you to submit yourself to me without knowing that God came, told you to come to this body and submit to this body. I hate using that word, submit. It just means to be in subjection, to be under the authority of, which is a good thing. Remember, it's a good thing. If you believe God's called you here, then to be in that authority is how you increase and how you have greater authority under you. That's why we have so many rogue people. They're not under anything. It's like the wife submitting to the husband. Why? Because of the good that it produces. And he set some in the church, right? Some, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I asked you who wanted the perfected. You want to be perfected? You want to come to the fullness of what God has for you? Is it going to happen some other way than these scriptures that I just said?
Yes, because I have my own Bible, my own interpretation.
Do you know how much I pray for you guys and believe God for you? Because I want to? No, I got other things. I got TV to watch too. Actually, we don't. It doesn't come in really well at all. But anyway, I believe in God for you. Do you want that? Do you know I have an anointing to do that? I have an anointing that you don't have. Brothers, this sounds like you're all arrogant. I'm not. I believe God for you. I want everything in you to come to the front and to be perfected. Do you see that in these scriptures here? Why did he give these men? What did you think he anointed them to do? And they're to be in authority over you? To exert authority? And we'll go to that scripture. Submit. No, it's so that they can help you be perfected. They have an anointing. I used to do this with Kenneth Hagin and Keith Moore. Great ministries, by the way. Keith Moore gives everything free. I love it. Yes, that's what I've been trying to do. Somebody's doing it. And he's somebody that I'm, in a way, I'm submitted to him and under his teachings. Same with Kenneth Hagin. I'm submitted there. I completely forgot what I was going to say. Hallelujah. I'll remember it, though. Hallelujah. That was a faith confession. Glory be to God. But I would sit there under these people's meetings. And I would have an issue and a problem in my life. And I didn't know what to do because I'm just a Rhema student. I'm stupid. I got no money. My rent's coming up. I don't have no sandwich either. Everything is terrible. And I would sit there. And all of a sudden, he'd come right up to me. He'd say something, and it was just the exact thing I needed. I couldn't get out. I was believing God, praying, help me, God, losing it. But somehow, because I was submitted to them and under that anointing, it just made sense. And I got revelation that I'd never had before. And it was like, ta-da! Where were you 2 hours ago? That's the thing I really hate to see is when people, they're one place, they're another place, they're not in anything, they're not partaking of the anointing that God put there to perfect you. It's not for them, it's for you. Be selfish about it. Why did he put the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers in the church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for your building up. You submit because you're built up. You submit because it benefits you. You get something out of it. You're greater. You're stronger. And there's several people here that would say that. Since I've been here, I've grown so much that I haven't grown before. And all of a sudden, why? It's because you're submitting to an anointing. And is that because of me? And I'm so puffed up. And look at me, how handsome I am. Who's laughing over there? It's because of the anointing, and I have really little to do with it other than I'm trying to walk as tight as I can. I want to be one of those guys without the flexi lead. Hallelujah. And that's why I hate preaching this stuff, because you have to say these things, and I hate being in that position where I'm trying to talk about myself and an anointing and blah, blah, blah. I hate it. It's not where I prefer to be. But it's the truth, okay? It's the truth. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do we have a ways to go? Yes. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. There are certain things, there's certain people, we know a lot of people this way. I could name many people that just plain aren't anywhere under anything. And they seem to be all right. They seem like things, oh, okay, but they will never fulfill what God's called them to fulfill until they come in line with what God has for them. And I'm not even saying that it has to, I'm not saying that you have to be here because I'm the most anointed. No, I'm saying they've got to get in line with the Word. If it's not here, it's got to be somewhere. Because this is the way God does it. And that's what I was saying. I said, you got to believe God, pray, and hear from God for yourself. Where does God want you? Because that's where you will mature, you will grow up, you will be what you're called to be. And it saddens my heart to see people, they're here one day, they're somewhere else some other day. And they know what's going on, they're going to miss it. Like if people are here just like for the great preaching and the charisma that exudes from the preacher. Then they're here for the wrong reason. They should be in that place because there's an anointing there where they can grow up and be what they're called to be. Be established in the body of Christ. Isn't that what you want? Hallelujah. Not on and off and on and off. These people are just going to be on and off and on and off for all their lives. They need to get in and stay in. Stay hooked up. Even if I say something stupid. Believe me, I will. I do. Because I'm a man. I'm just trying to walk a rope. And it gets tighter for me too. Yeah, make it tight on him. Make it tight on him. It is. Oh, glory be to God forever. And why do I have to go down this road? Believe me, I wrestled over the last several days wrestling. I've said enough about that. I'm done saying it. No, you're not done saying it, he says. There's more in here that people need to know. Why? It's because the people, they need to come into the fullness of what God has for them. Every single one of you. That's my prayer, that you come into the fullness of what God has. Is everybody there yet? In the fullness? Bible says we can be. Otherwise, he's just being mean. You can be in the fullness of what God has for you. Well, I could do it on my own. Well, not if you're going to read the Word. Just write your own Bible then. Jesus is Lord. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's what you want, right? You want to be a wise man. You want your house built on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. What's the rock we're talking about? Doing the sayings of Jesus. Doing what he said. When we see this in the Word, we're just going to do it. Why? Because the flexi lead's tugging on me. I'm going to do it. Be like a wise man, your house built on something solid. Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat upon the house and it fell and great was the fall of it. Now, see, brother? The storms just come to those who build their house on the sand. No, the storms come to everybody. Same storm, most likely. Houses are probably right next to each other, except one was on the beach. The other was on the rocks. Are you doing what Jesus said? Because if you do, then when that storm comes, you won't crumble. Does that make sense? Wait till you see this next verse. Verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught. Everybody say taught. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. How did Jesus teach them? He taught them in authority. Then Jesus told his disciples, what did he do? He set teachers in the church. What authority are they teaching under? His authority. If you do that, if you submit to that, if you submit to not to the men because they're telling you to do everything. No, submit to the anointing that's coming through them. Then your house will be on a rock that can't be shaken. And we have people in churches all over the place. One church, then another church, then this meeting and that meeting. And they're never stable anywhere. They can't partake of that anointing and be changed. And they're not on a rock. And they will be shaken when the storm comes. He taught them as one having authority. 42. But Jesus called them to him and said unto him, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship. Everybody say exercise lordship. Over them, and the great ones exercise authority upon them. Right? The great ones. You think of like Caesar. All these dictators. They exercised authority over the people. Right? Like a dictator would. You must do this or I take your house away. Even in China. You grow up and you look like you got some athletic ability. They take you away from your family and they start training you to be in the Olympics. At like 2. Goo goo gaga, and you see them flip, 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 splash. And you're like, what? That's freaky. The parents see him. I watched the Olympics, some of it. I saw, you know, and they said this kid saw their family make twice a year for a couple days. That's a talented baby you got there. Thank you. And they take it. They exercised their authority over them and took it. They exercised authority. This is what people are afraid of when you start talking about submit. And it's completely opposite. Completely. Flip that over 180 degrees. Completely opposite. Why you submit in the body of Christ. You submit yourself. Here, they're exercising authority over you. This is what we do to the devil. We exercise authority over him. But in the body of Christ, we submit to the authority for our own benefit. Nobody's exercising authority over anybody, and this is where the body of Christ got off a little bit in the shepherding movement. Well, you have to tell me how much you make, and I can decide what color car you should drive. That's the point where you say, dude, you can't take my sandwich. You're out beyond your authority. See, he's talking about that sandwich again. That was just to wake you up. Yeah, sandwich, talk about that again. They exercise lordship over them, and the great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Huh. And whosoever will be chiefest among you shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Nobody in the body of Christ is going to exercise authority like the world does over you. Not once did Kenneth Hagin or Keith Moore or Ed Dufresne even. None of them ever came up to me and told me what car to drive or what clothes to put on in the morning. Well, they did a little bit at Rhema when we were ministers there. We had to wear a suit and tie. Or you got called to the office. But they could do that because we submitted ourselves to what? The authority of the school. We had to look like what they wanted us to look like. Right? Talk about the military. You go in, you do exactly everything. You wear their clothes. They're not even your clothes, are they? Those are the military's clothes. You got ketchup on the military's clothes. You are in trouble. Government property. Patrick tells me about time he got a... I shouldn't say this, should I, Patrick? He got a sunburn, and he got called on the carpet for destroying government property. Because he got a sunburn. Are we not part of the body of Christ? Is he not Lord over us? So what are we submitting to? Him and his body, he set it up this way. I didn't. This is the way he wants it done. We do it this way. Will we increase in power and authority the closer we walk with him? Absolutely. I'm excited about it. You're excited about that little short rope? Yes, because of the authority the little rope gives me. It gives you so much more authority and so much more power. Whosoever will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 16:15. I'll try to go through these real quick. I believe things are going down in your spirit. 16, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanias, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They were the first fruits. Understand this. Paul came into this village, this town. I'd repeat it again, but I didn't pronounce it well the first time. So I'm not going to do it again. He went in there. These people, these two people he mentioned, they were the first fruits of that place. And what happened to them? They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They were addicted to it. Do you think possibly they got some authority from Paul? The closer they walked with him, the more they listened to him, the more the things he said, they took the authority that he had. And look at how much authority he gives them by writing. Does authority come through the Word of God? All of our authority comes through the Word of God, by the way. Look at what they did to this people here. Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such. Now he's telling the church there to submit themselves to such. To such what? Those that addicted themselves to the ministry and to everyone that helps us and labors. He's encouraging them to submit to all of Paul's posse and the people that have been established there. Submit yourself. Did he say command them? I command you to be in subjection. No, he's encouraging them to submit themselves. Why? So they could have some dominance and authority. No, so that they could grow in grace and in power in the things of the Spirit of God. That's always why. You think these people addicted them? Why did they addict themselves to this ministry? Because they got such a kick and joy out of seeing people grow up and thrive. They became their minister. That's why I pray for you and you get a raise. Why? Because I get a kick out of it. I get a kick out of seeing your mind all delivered. Your body healed. That blesses me. Why? I'm addicted to it. Hebrews 13:17. But you can't. Nobody is going to force you to submit yourself to anything. Not even your husband. You submit yourself. Nobody can make you submit to this ministry. That's why the Spirit of God has to speak to you and let you know where you're supposed to be. Then nobody's telling you that. And if you're feeling led to do that, then stick with it. Be faithful, and you will see the fruit coming into your life. It'll start sprouting up all over the place. You will grow. You'll be healed. You'll prosper. Unless, of course, you're submitting to some church that doesn't believe in healing and prosperity. But then you're submitting to the wrong thing anyway. Then that ministry isn't submitted to the Word. Oh, Jesus is Lord. So like I keep opening up bigger and bigger cans of worms. By the end of this, I'll have like 8 feet stuck in my mouth and I'll be my own. Brother, that's impossible. I know, supernaturally. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them, oh brother. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to who? To you. Obey them. See, nobody likes these words. Obey them that have the rule over you. The rule means to lead. Doesn't mean to rule over like we think. We twisted that word. Oh, I'm not obeying. We're ruling over me. Even in the marriage vows, love, honor, and obey. I'm putting that in there. But it means to lead. The leaders, the one who is, you know, specifically if God has told you to be in a certain place, then be there. And if he hasn't told you, then find that out and be there. I had several people that have told me that. And that blesses me like you can't believe because it frees me up to just be what I'm called to be and pray for these people. Was it Benny Hinn was my pastor for a while? No. Yes, he was. Hallelujah. Now, I remember talking to one guy out in the lobby at the end of the service, and he came in. See, this is the problem with saying names. People go, well, I like Kenneth Hagin, but I've never heard of Keith Moore. But Benny Hinn, I just don't agree with that. He's always laying his hands on the TV and all. Yeah, you should have seen some of the wild stuff that went on down there. Hallelujah. But the point was, I was out in the lobby, standing there talking to people, because I didn't want to go home. Because the anointing was there, and the presence of God, and I didn't want to leave. And I'm just like, hi, how you doing? What are you doing here? I don't know. I even forgot my name. But this man who was a greeter, he told me he had just moved down there, and he said, God told me to come here and help Benny Hinn. He told me to come here and help Benny Hinn. I said, what do you do? He says, I don't know. I'm looking for a job right now, but I'm here. He said, I'm believing God for it. He left his job, went to the place he was supposed to be because God told him. And now, do you think that guy's going to be faith? Is going to get blessed? He has submitted himself to what God told him to do. And that's why it depends on what God has told you to do. If God tells you to do it and be faithful. Do it and be faithful. And the increase will come from that. Hallelujah. And we're looking for increase. Jesus is Lord. Yes, Father. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you right now. I thank you that you have moved upon people, that you have spoken to people, and people that have heard this message and are hearing this message either on CD or any other fashion we get it out there. Father, that you're speaking to people right now, telling them where they need to be and how they need to submit to certain ministries. You are speaking to them and their life will never be the same. Great release, great anointing shall take place and they will walk in the new. They will walk through new doors. They will walk into new territories like never before. And the anointing and power of God will change them and increase them. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen.
Shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.